Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Friday Morning Enlightened Networking's call. This is Robin Blank Mascari here with my beloved and partner, Gregory, and we're here every Friday morning to bring top leaders, speakers, and authors to share time-proven principles about truly leading a prospering, fulfilling, successful life. So this morning, our special guest is the very own Gregory Mascari. He's filling in for Rhonda Johnson, who will be coming at a later date. And we were planning on doing this call a little sooner than we thought, but we're thrilled to share this morning something that is really fundamental and foundational. And before we get started, I want to do a brief introduction of Gregory. And many people know Gregory, some more than others. Gregory has been a professional as an entrepreneur, as a professional networker in the field and in the corporate offices for, he doesn't want me to say how many years because then it makes him sound old, but over 25 years, let's put it that way, very successfully, and has distilled down the basics. Truly, if we repeat the basics and we hear that over and over again and do those simple things consistently, we will create a dream lifestyle. So I want to turn things over to my beloved and partner, Gregory Mascari.
Well, thanks, Robin, and good morning, everyone, and such a pleasure to be able to be with you here this morning to share some of these time-proven principles that I've learned and been able to successfully apply over the years. And I guess one of the keys to my success is maintaining a simple mind. And my tendency in life is to try and break things down into simple, logical pieces and parts, keep it simple, keep it duplicatable, so to say. And in doing so, it allows things to, you know, to share, teach, and grow. So today I'd like to share some insights into what I call the 10 master skills of enlightened or successful networking. And each skill is truly based on timeless, proven principles, and they build logically and progressively upon each other to help you chart your course and get where you want to go in life, whether it's to build a business, establish or manage a nonprofit charitable organization, build your own dream lifestyle, your home, your family, to help you, you know, get where you want to go in life. So in the next 30 minutes, I'm going to share with you these 10 time-proven principles that typically take all day to do. It's normally an all-day seminar that I've done over the years, but sometimes, as the saying goes, less is more, and sometimes the essence is better than the whole loaf. So I'm going to give the essence of these time-proven principles.
So there's 10 of them, Gregory. So how about if we start with the beginning?
Well, it starts in the very beginning, and I'm going to quote someone that we all know and who's famous for his words, "I have a dream." And Martin Luther King certainly changed the world because he was a man with a vision and a dream, and master skill number one is dream building. And without vision, the people perish, and without a dream, you won't get where you want to go. And so it's so important that we support each other in dream building, that we give ourselves space and time to dream dreams. And when we were children, it was natural, but society and sometimes our family and our schools and you know, kind of drill that out of us. And I think it's really, really good to open it back up. I mean, think of the greatest people, world-changing visionaries like Gandhi or Mother Teresa or John Kennedy. They all had a dream, and they were so purposeful and passionate about that dream that they got others to follow in their tracks. So I encourage everyone to align with what is your dreams, what are your greatest needs, wants, dreams, and aspirations? What's your purpose and passion? And I hope everyone takes time in life to journal and kind of begin charting your course, because the only thing good about not having a plan is failure will come as a complete surprise. If you don't have a destination, any road will get you there. These are all kind of cliche, but they are valid concepts and points. So it's important to have a dream. And if you're building a business, to have a dream for where you want that business to go. If you're designing a life, to have a dream for where that life is going to go.
Thank you, Gregory. And it's to ask ourselves and to also ask those people in our lives that are important to us, whether they're our teammates, our family members. It's so rare in life that anyone asks us about our dreams. So following up with the dreams.
It comes to master skill number two, and you hit on an important point here, Robin, because most of the times in life, the only way you're going to get where you want to go is help other people where they want to go. So I encourage everyone to be listening to these 10 master skills and thinking not only how can they apply in your life, but how can you share these skills and concepts and principles with people you love and care about, people in your family and your business. So as Robin was saying, not only knowing where you want to go is important, but helping other people get where they want to go, so knowing where what their dreams are. So if the dream building is master skill number one, and that's really the why, the purpose, the passion, master skill number two is goal setting. And goal setting helps you do three very, very important things. It helps you turn your dreams into reality, helps you turn things you want into things to do, and it helps you measure your progress. So you could think of dreams as the why and goals as the what. Goals is when we start getting a little bit tangible, you know, and probably many of you have heard the acronym of setting SMART goals that are specific, measurable, realistic, and time-oriented. It is so, so important to have tangible, measurable goals, goals that are written. You know, and a very wise man many years ago told me one time is, you may want to write your goals in pencil because they may change. That doesn't mean your destination. That doesn't mean your dream will change, but maybe you need to revise your goals. It's like the airplane pilot that's, you know, that takes off from LAX headed for Tokyo. They're revising their plan on a regular basis because wind currents are not exactly predictable, the changes in the weather currents and such. So they're always correcting their course, or they may end up in Singapore. So it is in life. So, you know, having tangible goals is very important. There are four types of goals I'd like to suggest that people consider having for their business, and that is, number one, income goals. How much do you want to earn out of your business venture? Number two is investment goals. How much are you willing to put in to get what you want out? And that investment is two very important things. It's resource, it's your time, and your money. So income goals, investment goals. And then there's achievement goals. And most companies have achievement ranks or positions. And sometimes it's just shooting for the next achievement goal will help everything line up. So, you know, there's achievement goals. And maybe your goal might be you want to be a teacher. And so tangible thing would be, okay, what school do you want to go to? What classes you need to take? How much time is it going to take to get you that degree? What are your tuition costs, your room, and expenses going to be along the way? So there's achievement goals. And number four is activity goals. What activities that you do you need to engage in to achieve those goals? So, you know, that's goal setting is said to be one of the master skills, and I encourage everyone to become proficient at goal setting because, as I said earlier, the only sure way of getting what you want out of life, the only sure way of getting to where you want to go is with a well-charted course, and goal setting is that course charting process.
So, Gregory, I know these are the fundamentals, and people have heard these things many times before, but going back to the basics is always helpful. And I know there was a study done on goal setting and the power of writing it down. You want to briefly share that before we move to number three?
I'd love to. I love sharing this. And this was the Yale class of 1955 was surveyed at their 20-year reunion. So in 1975, the Yale graduating class of 1955 was surveyed, and only 3% of that graduating class acknowledged that they had written goals when they graduated. Within the survey, they also did an assessment of their assets, their wealth, and they found that the combined wealth and assets of the 3% exceeded the 97% together. So what a tangible evidence of the importance of having written goals that certainly is.
And sometimes writing them down once a year sometimes is even enough. And you look back at the next new year and you go, oh, my God, I wrote them down. I didn't even put time in, and I got them. So it is really powerful, and it doesn't have to take a lot of time. And the results, as you hear, are quite extraordinary. So that moves us into number three.
Okay, master skill number three is, you know, said to be your contact list, or consider it your mastermind group, your board of directors. It's really the list of people that can help you get where you want to go, and also people that you can help get where they want to go. Maybe it's people that can help you build your business. Maybe it's people you can help with your life-altering products or service. But building your list is so very, very important, and you should consider the people you know as your greatest resource, your greatest asset. And so sometimes people hesitate on putting that list together, but for getting where you want to go in life, it's important to have your list together. And ideally, you're looking for people that are the movers and shakers, that are the leaders that are going to help you achieve your end goal. You know, and again, whether it's, you know, building and starting a nonprofit charitable organization or building a large distributor organization with any company, you know, finding the best and they'll do the rest, as the saying goes. And so I know some people, you know, use the concept of building your board of directors. I love Napoleon Hill's concept of the Mastermind Alliance. Who can I find that's in alignment, that can contribute to my end goal, to my vision, my mission, my passion, and help me achieve the goals that I've set out for myself and my business?
And a lot of people, you know, if we're building something big, everyone knows we need a team. We can't do it alone. So this list is so crucial. And what I like to suggest people do is really put down the qualities and characteristics. If you're building a house, you need different kinds of team members to do that in different areas of expertise. And if you're building a business, to find what I've heard called power partners, people that are in alignment with your values, that truly care about your success and the success of others, that really are there to support you and help facilitate the contacts that can enhance whatever it is you're up to. So it's the contacts within your business and the contacts and support that will support you whether they're in your business or not.
And as I've heard you say so many times, Robin, you know, put the people on the list that when the caller ID lights up, you go, oh boy, yes, as opposed to, oh no, not them again.
The quality of life from my perspective is truly related to the quality of the relationships. And if we're not clear, like we're not clear on our goals, we're going to get whatever we get. So being clear on the kind of people we want to associate with in our personal and professional life, and then that's what we'll attract.
And that is the law of attraction. If you haven't looked at the movie, seen the movie recently, The Secret, that is the secret. It's the law of attraction. You get what you look for in life. So find the best, and they'll do the rest when it comes to your board of directors and your contact list.
Okay, so now we're time for number four, Gregory.
And number four flows right off number three. As I said, they build progressively. Once you've got that list together, the next step is picking up that 400-pound telephone. It's contacting and inviting people to have a cup of coffee, to, you know, give you an opinion on a product or business, to meet with you and share some insights, whatever the case may be. But you need to begin contacting those people on your list and sharing your vision, sharing your purpose, passion, products, good or services. So contacting, inviting, and I like to say that we are really in the sifting and sorting, not convincing business. I'm a firm believer on the philosophy of helping people make an informed decision. If I'm asking someone to join my board of directors or my business, you know, I want them to make a decision that's right for them. It's not about being right for me. It needs to be right for both of us. It needs to be truly a win-win. So it's not about using, you know, the trial close and, you know, and all these tactics and techniques as much as finding a good fit. And because when you find a good fit, it will last. If you force a fit, you know, it won't last. You know, it reminds me of that old saying, a person convinced against their will remains the same ever still.
And when we are doing the contacting and inviting, Bob Berg was one of our guests several weeks ago, and he wrote the book, The Go-Givers. His new book is called It's Not About You. So as we're contacting and inviting to really realize that this whole game of business, of life, and like I talked about just a moment about, is relationships. So finding out about that person, what's important to them. It's not always about us, about our business, about what we're trying to accomplish, because we want to connect and relate. And so when we do that, then we're developing a relationship, because that person may or may not be a fit, like Gregory says, but they may be access to several hundred other people that may be a fit. So it's relationship building in the process.
And one more thing I want to say about contacting and inviting. In most businesses, it is a numbers game, and with practice, your numbers will improve. And we had another person, who was it that was on our call just a couple of weeks ago about going for no?
Andrea Waltz.
Andrea Waltz. And just going for no, and knowing that when you get through enough no's, you'll get the yes, so you'll get what you're looking for.
So that's number four. Let's move on, Gregory, to what is master skill number five?
Well, number five is once you've begun contacting and inviting people, what are you going to do when you get together and have that meeting, whether it's on the phone or in person? And it's so master skill number five is sharing your purpose, your passion, your products, and your business, whatever the case may be. It's getting together and sharing what you have to offer, sharing your needs and offering. Sharing what you have. Is it a business opportunity? Is it a product, a life-altering product? Or is it a chance, you know, to come together and work together as a team? So it's important when you're sharing your purpose to recognize that no matter what business you're in, we are in the relationship business. This is a people world. It's a people planet, and it's all about relationships. So it's important to seek first to understand, then to be understood, as Robin, you like to say from your background in with Covey Leadership. And the ultimate goal in life, I've found, is developing long-term, mutually rewarding relationships. So this ties back into what we said about master skill number four. It's, you know, finding a good fit. It's not trying to convince somebody. It's trying to find alignment and, you know, presenting your product and your purpose and your business in such a way that people feel comfortable with it.
And in addition to that, because I heard something recently that was shocking to me, and it was the amount of information that was created from the beginning of historic records until the year 2003 is being doubled every 48 hours now. And the reason I share that is that when we're sharing our purpose, our product, what we have to offer, learn to be very brief. People are overwhelmed with information these days. So learning to be impactful in 2 to 3 minutes in a very brief period of time is going to be key to anyone's success in the marketplace these days. Number six.
Well, let's just keep moving right along here. Master skill number six builds logically on the previous five, because master skill number six is follow-up. And it's been rightfully said, the fortune is in the follow-up. We also like to say the friendship is in the follow-up. And we found over the years that people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And you show people you care by staying in touch and following up. And so, you know, don't make an appointment you don't keep. Don't end one exposure without scheduling the next are vital, vital pieces of the puzzle. So, you know, I encourage you that when you're in, you know, a meeting with someone, whether it's your initial presentation, a follow-up presentation, that you, at the conclusion of that presentation, schedule what the next logical meeting is going to be. Shall I give you a call tomorrow? Shall we get back together tomorrow or the next day? And sooner is better than later. More is better than less when it comes to follow-up. You want to help people to make an informed decision, but you don't want to spread your exposures and your presentations out too far apart. You know, so I think, you know, follow-up is certainly a master skill. And learning the drip process, you know, of being polite, being professional, and being persistent, I guess I would like to say.
I love that term because I know a lot of people say, well, I want to feel like a pest. And the term that Gregory shared, professional persistence, is really key because the average person, whatever it is we're requesting or inviting them to participate in, is going to take several exposures before they're ready to move forward. Some people intuitively know immediately and other people need more information. We don't know, but being professionally persistent and, as Gregory calls it, you know, never ending one follow-up before the next. So that leads us right into number 7, doesn't it, Gregory?
It does. Master skill number 7 is answering questions and concerns, addressing questions and concerns. You could say Q&A, asking the right questions and knowing where to get answers to the questions they may ask you. And sometimes people have objections and resistance, and I encourage you to take those questions and objections as really opportunity and work clothes, because it shows that people are thinking and maybe they want more information. And one of the classic methods of dealing with people's questions and concerns is the old feel, felt, found technique. You know, is it's important to know how they feel. And at some level, once you really understand how they feel, to let them know at some level you may have felt the same way. You know, Robin, I know exactly how you feel. I know your resistance to, you know, this type of business, and I actually felt the same way. I was so burned out. I'd heard of so many different life-changing business opportunities. I didn't want to hear another. But what I found that these products made such a difference for me and my family that, you know, I had to really take a second look. So, you know, as I said earlier, the more someone is like you, the more they will like you. And so, you know, understanding where they're coming from is so, so important. And, you know, Robin, I'm just going to jump into master skill number 8 because the two piggyback so well. And master skill number 8 is listening. And it goes right along with master skill number 7, which is, you know, addressing concerns and questions. And you must learn to listen. And I like to refer back to the ear-mouth ratio. One mouth, two ears, and use them in those proportion. Most people in sales use them in the exact opposite, wrong proportion. If you want to get further in life, learn to ask better questions. Robin, I think you wanted to share something.
Well, you just actually teed it up perfectly. You know, when you're talking about answering questions on number 7, it's really also asking, because sometimes we don't know what's underneath the surface there that people may have some kind of concern about. You know, I came across that yesterday when I was visiting with someone. And, you know, I asked him, what other questions might you have? And it's really helpful to create a really safe place. And they may come up with something you had no idea was, you know, in their heads. And so finding out really where people are. And I have a mentor who we're going to have on our call, Jane Duber, who's just this extraordinary woman. And she really wants to know where people are. And it's really wonderful to be open, honest, heartfelt, and direct and say, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, 1, you know, this doesn't relate to you at all, whatever this is, and 10, you're ready to jump in and participate at whatever level. Where are you? And getting a really clear assessment of where people are, and then finding out, you know, what else does it take? Because part of our job is to give people information to answer those questions. But if we don't ask for what they are, how are we going to know?
So asking the right questions is so important. And, you know, one of the master skills of listening I learned and try to apply, I'm a perpetual student on this one, is learning to listen with the intention of understanding as opposed to listening with the intention of responding. And just think about that for a moment. Most of us sit there when people are talking to us, we're going through our memory banks, we're doing pattern recognition, halfway through the sentence we're going, oh, I know exactly what you mean, and you're responding before you let them express what they're saying. So if we could all just learn to listen with the intention of understanding versus listening with the intention of responding. And it's interesting to note that hearing is a physiological thing through the ears. Listening is really more of an emotional, mental, spiritual thing of the heart. And if we learn to listen to each other, ask the right questions, and sincerely listen, you'll recognize if your product, business, or service opportunity is right for that person in front of you, and you know what? So will they. It'll make life so much more smooth and joyous.
And we started out our very first program with Gregory sharing a piece on listening, and it is, I think, one of the most valuable, important aspects of being effective in truly any endeavor, personal or professional. And we have several professionals lined up to be 30 minutes of wisdom on that very topic. So stay tuned on that one. And Gregory, back to you.
Yeah, and you know, one of the things I think, now Robin, this may be a Covey quote, but it's one of my favorites, is understanding is to the soul what air is to the body. And when you give someone understanding, it's like giving them a breath of fresh air.
Couldn't we use that? Okay, Gregory, how about number nine?
Number nine, moving right along. Number nine is the master skill of time management. And it's kind of an oxymoron because you can't really manage time because it's going whether you're with it or not. But learning how to utilize your time most effectively, because time is your most valuable asset. You can get more money, but you can't get more time. When time is gone, it's over. So successful people have all learned how to control and manage their time. And in business, where you put your current time determines the size of your future success. So I think in the people business, think of the time you are spending with people as your most valuable investment. And let me ask you, who are you investing in? Are you investing in the people that are going to help you get to your dream destination, help you fulfill your purpose, passion, dreams and aspirations, your goals? So, you know, it's important that we all become experts at managing time. And I think along that line, it's understanding the difference between activity and productivity, because being active and looking at your back office or looking at your contact list or reading books and doing all the other things that we should do too are not necessarily productivity. So it's important to know the business building activities, the productivity versus, you know, the behind the scenes activities that we engage in.
And because of my background, as many of you know, with Stephen Covey, he talks about the distinction between being efficient and effective. And notice his book was called The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. And truly, the most effective people understand leveraged activities. You know, you can go on YouTube and do a search for the Big Rock video. I highly recommend that to everyone. But really, whether it's leveraging our time, leveraging our connections, leveraging our resources, and when Gregory says people, who do we spend our time with, and the quality of time we spend with them, whether it's our family members, you know, if we're talking to our teammates, to not be multitasking, to give 100% attention to what's most important, because that will come back. So, and like Gregory said, you can't manage time, but it's our relationship to time and understanding what is important that may not be urgent. And Stephen Covey has a brilliant program, which I feel is the best I've come across on time management.
So you're managing your time and you're investing it in people and activities. And, you know, there's a concept that I've learned and shared over the years, a concept of the road to success and the road to failure. And the difference between the road to success versus the road to failure is the road to success is paved with simple disciplines repeated over time. Managing your time and doing these simple disciplines, you know, contacting, inviting, you know, sharing your products and your business and opportunity, doing your follow-up. You know, the 10 master skills really are the simple disciplines, versus the road to failure is paved with simple errors in judgment repeated over time. Those simple errors in judgment could be, well, it's time for another, you know, walk in the park, another float on the river. And I'm not saying a walk in the park and a float on the river is not a good thing, but, you know, you want to manage your time with the simple disciplines.
And let's round it up with number 10 to complete.
Master skill number 10, brings it all home and kind of brings it back to you, because master skill number 10 is leadership. And in order to get where you want to go in life, you're going to have to help lead others along that path. And I found over the years that leaders are readers, and they work more on themselves than anyone else. And I think it's important to understand the difference between leadership and management. I own the manufacturing business. I know what management's about. I've built network marketing companies. I know what leadership's about, and it's very different. You can lead people and manage things. And there's a movement in America and the world towards servant leadership. And I, you know, Robin and I really resonate with that, and that's largely what, you know, our enlightened networking opportunity is all about, is really getting through giving. We're building relationships by giving you, our trusted and loyal friends, an opportunity to hear from gifted, talented speakers and trainers from all across the country and the world. And so, you know, serving is the ultimate opportunity. That's what servant leadership is all about. And I think in the new millennium, you know, the new paradigm is he who gives the most wins, which was embodied by, you know, Bob Berg and his go-giver philosophy, as opposed to the old paradigm, he who gets the most wins. So we're very, very excited about, you know, the opportunity to help everyone move down the path to health, happiness, and create a more balanced life by aligning with your own true north principles.
Well, thank you, Gregory, for doing that beautiful overview of the 10 master skills of enlightened networkers. And with that, we're going to complete our 30 minutes of wisdom with Gregory Mascari this morning and do a brief introduction for next Friday. We have Dr. Steve Taubman, who is the president and founder of Inner Selling Institute, and his topic is going to be unhypnosis, how to wake up, start over, and create the life you're meant to live. Steve is a total joy and has been working with people to, you know, many of us have just done all the right stuff, but something's gotten in the way. Well, Steve knows how truly magically, because he's a magician too. He's a chiropractor. He's a magician. He's got incredible energy. And he's going to help us unwind some of those things that have kind of been obstacles. So we want to thank each and every one of you for your time this morning of sharing with us for our 30 minutes of wisdom, and look forward to being with you next week and every Friday with our continued guest speakers. And thank you all also for helping build our community and sharing enlightenednetworking.com with your friends and having them get their names in our list so they can get the contact information and the replays. Each call is replayed 24/7 until the next Friday. And we will have a website in the near future where other things will be available too. Thank you, everybody. Have a great, great weekend. Bye-bye.